Good morning. My name again is Carrie Porter. I'm with the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. I'm your transportation specialist. For those of you not familiar with what I will call WAR, it's our agency, we provide training and technical assistance to aging units in all counties except Dane and Milwaukee and all 11 tribes. Many aging units, some are in aging and disability resource centers, they provide transportation as well as other services like nutrition programs. And I work on behalf of those aging units in helping them with their transportation services. Here's this map again of the public transit systems in Wisconsin, but what I'm here to talk about is specialized transportation. Bruce had mentioned the Transportation Finance and Policy Commission. They identified another 130 specialized transit systems, transportation systems, included outside of these public transit systems in the state. Specialized transportation systems are found in all counties and in areas. A lot of times, as Nikki had alluded to, they work very well in cooperation with public transit systems. So what exactly is specialized transportation? This is the book definition, but it's pretty much everything else that Nikki didn't talk about. Some people include paratransit and specialized transportation, and it's true that that does provide a specialized service, but the funding streams are oftentimes very different. So I'm going to talk about everything else outside of paratransit and fixed route. The difference with specialized transportation is they can determine what populations they serve, and we see a lot of these programs serving older adults and people with disabilities, but oftentimes it includes low-income populations, so it could be something like an employment shuttle. Specialized transportation can be van pools, car sharing, voucher programs, aging buses. A combination of any of those, volunteer driver programs is another large specialized transportation program in the state. Providers can be pretty much anyone. We have nonprofits providing the service, faith-based groups, community action programs, independent living centers, units of local government, municipalities, or on the county level. And one service, the Medicaid transportation, is provided in Wisconsin by a for-profit broker. An example in the Fox Valley area is Lutheran Social Services. They offer the Making the Ride Happen program, which is a volunteer driver program, and Holly Keenan here is the mobility manager there, and looks for people to stay mobile, connects them with the programs that are out there. Recently, they did a self-sufficiency transportation plunge to really get community leaders engaged in why transportation is so important. There are so many providers, so many programs that offer specialized transportation, and funding is critical. And funding for specialized transportation, as with other transit programs, can really determine who you serve and when a service and how a service is run. There's a combination of funding sources for specialized transportation. In the era of funding being flat and expenses rising, it really does take creative solutions. And Nikki has talked about a really great example in the Fox Valley, and we'll have a couple others talk about their creative funding that combines many of these programs. In all of them, there is tax levy. So at a local level, there's money going in for specialized transportation. A lot of that is match money for other grant programs, for federal grant programs. Foundation funding, the good old broad fry. The needs exceed what funding's available, and we have to get very creative with the local funding to support those needs. On the state level, there are several programs that will fund transportation, little bits of it. Transportation is an allowable expense, but the one I'll talk about today is the 8521 Specialized Transportation for Counties. Every county receives this funding. And it's based on the population of older adults and people with disabilities, but based on your proportion as a county to the rest of the state. So the funding level of $13.6 million for this entire statewide program has remained flat for several years. But in 2013, some counties actually saw their allocation fluctuate because the census numbers changed and the allocations were updated. So some counties got more money, some counties remained the same because they're at the basement level funding of $68,000, which frankly doesn't even really buy you a bus anymore. And some counties lost money because their proportion of older adults and people with disabilities was less than some other county. It doesn't mean they're serving less people. In almost every case, they're serving more older adults and more people with disabilities. It's just that their proportion has changed in comparison to another part of the state. And I'll also mention the 85-215 funding, which is fairly new, 2009, and this is specifically for the 11 tribes. Each tribe gets $22,500 each year, so it's a small pot, and they often coordinate with other specialized systems available. On the federal level, we have Federal Transit Administration funding. One of the largest funding pots for specialized transportation is 5310 program, which in the past has only been used in Wisconsin to purchase vehicles. So maybe a nonprofit in your area, the Red Cross, maybe the aging unit have purchased vehicles through this program. That program is expanding in the new legislation, the MAP 21 legislation, to include other things like volunteer driver programs, voucher programs, other things are going to be eligible under that program. We're just waiting for federal guidance and state guidance on that program. There are also probably about 60 some other federal funding sources that can fund transportation. Another large one is the Department of Health Services, Medicaid funding is another big one. With 60 some funding sources at the federal level, several at the state and all the local levels, coordination is really important. A lot of times the pot of money for transportation is very small and you can't do much with that, but if you all coordinate together, which is actually mandated, it's the law, we have to coordinate to get some of the federal money, that is really important. Some benefits of transportation for the individual, I work a lot with programs that serve older adults, is that people are able to get around. It's shown that without transportation, people take 15% fewer doctor visits, 59% less shopping trips or eating out to, or going out to eat, and 65% less family, recreational, social, religious trips. Due to limited funding for specialized transportation, programs often set the limits on where people can go, and they limit medical and nutritional trips because those are life-sustaining trips. If someone doesn't get groceries, if somebody can't get to their medical appointments, that's a huge deal. But more and more we're seeing socialization is also just as critical as medical care. Somebody's socially isolated, their health declines faster. They might be admitted to a long-term care facility faster. So these are all, even social trips are important for individuals. As the last two speakers have mentioned, community transportation is an economic driver. People can't get out. They can't continue to volunteer for programs. Some can't continue to work. Transportation specialized programs, some of them geared just towards work and employment, gets people jobs and it helps them keep jobs. And also it keeps people buying things in the community. If people can't get out, they can't contribute to the local economy. For healthcare, like I had mentioned, it allows people to make and keep appointments, keeping their wellness up, keeping people out of the emergency room if they can't get there. For regular visits, it may cost an ambulance trip and an emergency room visit instead of paying a volunteer driver to take that person to a few trips during the year so they can do their preventative maintenance. So those are some inherent costs of not providing transportation for the healthcare. And then again, for taxpayers, when we coordinate our systems, when we have people getting to programs that maintain their health, getting to grocery stores that might not even be in their own community, it saves dollars in the long run. People can age in place. They can stay out of long-term care facilities, which are expensive. And by coordinating our programs, we can provide more services, oftentimes with less resources or the same amount of resources. Some key issues Some of them have been addressed already, but adequate funding for all transportation, multimodal resources and the infrastructure, and not just roads, bridges, but bike facilities, pedestrian walkways, public transit, specialized transportation programs. They enhance people's options. As Bruce said, they'll bring people into your community, especially the younger generation, but it'll keep the older generation in your community because they can get around when they can no longer drive. Coordination, as I mentioned, is really important, and it is part of the federal law. In Wisconsin, our Department of Transportation has really emphasized this. Many of you are going through the transportation locally coordinated transportation planning process. That's really critical so we can have long-term view of what we want for our transportation systems and what are the areas of need that we're going to have to address. I put non-emergency medical transportation or NEMT brokerage on here as a separate issue. This is partly a coordination issue because a few years ago, Wisconsin has gone to a statewide brokerage system. It's heavy on my mind because the transition is going through next week to our new vendor. It starts August 1st. But this is an example of a program that in many areas used to be highly coordinated. You'd have one vehicle going to the clinic with a Medicaid card member, a family care member, and a private pay person to the same clinic driving in one vehicle. Now, regardless of the system, because we've taken the Medicaid portion out of the local area, you could have the Medicaid card member service person going to the clinic in one vehicle and a volunteer driver following that with other clients. So that's really an important thing to point out for us in Wisconsin. And then we continue to follow the federal surface transportation reauthorization or new bills that are coming up. MAP 21 was signed into law. It's only a two-year bill. That has done some very good things, especially in Fox City. We have Representative Ribble and Petri to thank for their efforts on that to help keep some of the funding for Valley Transit. There were some programs consolidated, like I had mentioned, for specialized transportation, and that's going to be critical to watch as we go forward. And another thing at the federal level that I will highlight that is important for specialized transportation is in volunteer driver programs. In some areas of the state, and I put the transit map, the only systems that are available there are volunteer drivers. Taxi cab companies can't make it in that area. It's just too sparsely populated. And so they rely on volunteer drivers. Well, right now, the volunteer driver charitable driving rate is 14 cents per mile. Hasn't changed. Unlike the IRS business rate, where many of us will get paid 56, maybe 56 and a half cents, or the state rate of 40 or 50 cents a mile to get here, volunteers are only reimbursed 14 cents per mile. It's set by statute, and I know Representative Petri has been a proponent of changing that and getting that changed, but it's really critical because those are one of the most efficient ways to get people around in the rural areas. And we're penalizing, we're making volunteers pay out of their own pocket, or if they're getting reimbursed more, it's got tax implications. But if we were to put a public transit system in that area, it would be costly. And we need to support the systems that are in place. We need to support the volunteers and support the alternative systems that we have in place. This is a map of the demographics. Now this is showing 65 plus population. And although specialized transportation covers a lot of other populations, I put this up because you'll see that, as Bruce alluded to, our state is aging rapidly. The dark blue areas is, or actually the green areas are between 12% and 21% population older than 65. And I recognize that at 65, most people can still drive, but forecast out 20 years from there. And in 2035, a good majority of the state that doesn't have public transit or doesn't have very few infrastructure options aside from roads, it's going to be hard for people to get around. Overall, our life expectancy exceeds our driving life expectancy. For women, it's 10 years, and for men, it's 6. That's a long time to be relying on systems that might not even exist in your area. And I would ask, what, consider yourself in your area, what would you do if there wasn't a transportation system to take you to a medical appointment, to get groceries? We need to start now to build that infrastructure, those alternative transportation programs in our state. Thank you.